We're looking particularly at verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Several years ago, when we were in Northeast Oklahoma and had the privilege of having Dr. J. Adams with us for a conference, I remember very well in one of his sessions, he's talking about the disease of plaquosis. Have I talked to you about plaquosis before? The disease, as he put it, was that we have this tension to take particular verses out of context and put them on plaques and put them on the wall. And he said, you know, somebody could make a lot of money by manufacturing contextual wallpaper. That might be a good idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 happens to be one of those texts that we often take out of context. We pull it out. And because we pull it out of its context within 2 Corinthians, we often, I think, misinterpret it. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? The Apostle Paul is turning the tables on the Corinthians in this particular text. You see, in the third verse of 2 Corinthians 13, Paul says, "You are seeking for proof of the Christ who speaks in me." You want me to prove myself, Paul says to the Corinthians. And he's turning the tables on the Corinthians. You test yourselves. You prove yourselves. And it's quite interesting that Paul is doing this. And I have found, even in this place, that it's often the case that a pastor has to prove himself to the rest of the congregation, that you have to gain a little credibility, isn't that true? And you have to gain some capital before you can do certain things within a congregation, especially a congregation that's 120 years old. Now, most of you people are not 120 years old, but at any rate, the congregation has been around for that length of time. Paul is turning the tables on the Corinthians. And he says in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, "The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles." And Paul was very concerned about his credibility and proving to the Corinthians that he indeed was an apostle. And the Corinthians made him do this. Now he's turning the tables on them. And I think that's an important point to grasp. You test yourselves. You prove yourselves. And you will discover, dear friends, Paul is saying in essence, that the proof of my apostleship is the proof of faith within you. And I could say the same thing here in this congregation, I think. The proof of my ministry is the change in the lives of you people, of you folks. And that's how it works. And so Paul is calling upon these Corinthians, test yourselves, prove your own selves. And in the end, he wants these Corinthians to have real assurance that they are in the faith. And so I'm laying this proposition before you in the outline that's in the bulletin. God wants you to have an accurate knowledge of yourself so you can have true assurance of salvation. He wants that. God wants that. And Paul wanted that. And that's what's behind this text. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? You see, the profound truth of Christianity is that Jesus Christ resides, abides, lives, has made His home in you. What a truth this is. This is the root of Christianity. Paul says to the Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you have no hope of glory unless Jesus Christ is resident within you. Last week we talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit. And I told you that I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit because I was asked the question, what is the Holy Spirit? And we looked at 1 John and we connected the Holy Spirit and the love of God. And we saw that when the love of God is poured out in our hearts, the Holy Spirit is resident within us. That Christ is resident within us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Christ is present, if indeed we are His. This is an amazing thing. And I think it's all the more amazing that when the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who is given to us, that this is how we are made partakers of the divine nature. And if this doesn't change a human being, nothing can. And so, again, the profound truth of Christianity is Christ residing, abiding, living within you. And Paul is saying, you need an accurate knowledge of yourself regarding this truth. Isn't this the case? And some of you are going to quibble with me now because I have in the outline, it comes by inference. Not directly, but by inference. And I think this is important to grasp. You see, if the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we ought to be transformed then into loving people. And what is the first and primary fruit of the Holy Spirit? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And what does Jesus say? You shall know them by their fruit, how they live. And fruit is something which is tangible, something which is visible. And so I say that an accurate knowledge comes as we look at ourselves and we see the fruit and we infer from that the presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, I've made something in the past of the notion that you can't directly feel the Spirit. You can't directly touch the Spirit. You obviously cannot directly see the Holy Spirit. And I think this is what Jesus tells us in John chapter 3. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. You don't see the wind directly, do you? You see the results of the wind in the wheat fields. You see the results of the wind in the trees. And the same is true with the human life. You do not feel the Spirit directly. You do not see the Spirit directly, but you feel and experience and see the results of the work of the Spirit in profound ways. And fruit from the seed of the Spirit in our lives ought to be abundantly present. So I say, if that fruit of love is present and visible, then we infer from that the presence of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ working in us. And I say further, and I think this is what the text tells us, that there is no neutrality when we think about the Christian faith. Reprobation is the only alternative to Christ in you. You hear that, don't you? That the only alternative is being outside of Christ. The King James Version is quite interesting at this point. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are reprobate. A very strong word. And there are those who would consider themselves to be old reprobates. And when I hear individuals talk about themselves in this fashion, I shudder. I really do. Because the reprobate do not go to heaven. The reprobate will suffer eternal anguish in hell. Jesus calls us to enter the narrow gate which leads to life. He cautions us not to go down the broad road that leads to death. Test yourselves. Prove your own selves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ lives in you, except you be reprobate? You see, there's no neutrality there. There's no middle ground there. It seems to me this is important, profoundly important to grasp. And we ought not to relax as though there were some middle ground. So here's the crucial question then. Are you in the faith? Our text again. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Here's the crucial question. Are you in the faith? Are you united to Jesus Christ? Vitally and really. Is Christ in you? Do you trust Jesus Christ as the one who paid the penalty due to you for your sins? Is that where you are? Say, isn't this the bottom line? And ought this not to be what we are ultimately concerned about in the pale of the Church of Jesus Christ? I think it is. Here is this Son of God, the perfect God-man who came into the world and died on a cross, taking to himself the awful wrath of God against sin. You know, too many in our culture and our society today think this is a bunch of folderol, that this is just a little myth that we can talk about. Yet individuals within our culture and society wander around with heavy guilt upon their hearts. And the only answer to that guilt is to come to Christ, is to trust in Jesus Christ. And to have the love of God poured out within their hearts. And so the crucial question is, do you trust Christ? Are you in the faith? And Paul says, therefore, test yourselves. Prove yourselves. To me, this is absolutely amazing. Now, the word test here is often used in the New Testament to refer to testings that we undergo in this life. This is not meant primarily to be an internal examination. And that's where we miss the point so often. You see, we learn by inference what is inside of us by how we act in the world in particular circumstances. So, we are to test ourselves. And the word test primarily has to do with circumstances in which we find ourselves in God's providence. I'd like you to look at a couple of texts in this regard. Would you look at them with me? First of all, in James chapter 1. This is a very familiar text. And I have found myself quoting this quite often. James chapter 1. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, testings, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, how many of you have had a trial of a particular nature, even in this last week? I think it's been there. That you've been tested in a particular circumstance in this past week? I know I have. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. This is the same word that is used in 2 Corinthians 13. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. This is the other word that is used in 2 Corinthians 13. Knowing that the proving of your faith works out endurance. And I want to talk about that a little bit more. But let's look at the other text in 1 Peter, just the next book in your Bible. 1 Peter. And chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That your faith may be proved. Test yourselves. Prove your own selves. Now, I want to carry this a little bit further because there's a favorite verse of mine in 1 Peter. And at first I thought about going in a different direction, but I think I'm going to follow this little track right now. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, because the same word is used there also. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that comes upon you, for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. You know, it very often occurs to us that when we wind up in a particular circumstance, we say to ourselves, oh, poor me, why is this strange thing happening to me? This particular malady, this particular disease, this particular work situation, this particular mental distress. Why is this occurring? Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that comes upon you, for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. Don't shrink back at the test. Test yourself. I'm reminded again here of C.S. Lewis, who says that the way an individual can really prove the validity of his faith is to push through in the time of testing all the way to the end. That the only way that you really understand the strength of a temptation is to push through all the way to the end. And the only way that you understand the power of the grace of God is to push through all the way to the end. Right? Makes sense to me. Thank you, C.S. Lewis. Don't be surprised. Don't shrink back at the time of testing. Test yourself. Put yourself in the situation where you will be tested. See, I think that's what Paul is saying. The only way that your faith is going to be proved valid is if you do not shrink back in the time of trial. And all I have to do is look at you folks, and I know that some of you have been in profound trial. Test yourself. Do not shrink back. That would be the point. Prove your own selves. See, the word in the New American Standard Version in 2 Corinthians 13:5 is examine yourselves. The better translation would be prove yourselves. The word prove here has to do with the smelting of precious metal and the burning off of the dross to prove that the metal actually is gold or silver or platinum. And how is that proof realized? By fire. Thank you. Maybe not thank you, but that's how it comes about. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Test yourselves. Prove your own selves. Now, the best way I think I can get at this is by a reference to the book of Revelation. And it's very interesting to me that in the book of Revelation, in chapter 18, in two different places, the judgments of God are being leveled upon Babylon. Babylon, that harlot. Babylon, that epitome of evil, where the throne of evil is present. Babylon is being judged. And there are those who stand around and they cry, woe, 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 that great city, as they see on the horizon the smoke of her burning. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that comes upon you for your testing. The fiery ordeal is a testing, a proving. And for those who are unbelievers, those fiery ordeals are judgments of God. And for the believer, those fiery ordeals are the testing of the people of God. It's the same fiery ordeal. Irma and I watched her mother pass from this life, struggling with cancer. And that was a fiery ordeal, as anyone who has gone through that struggle realizes. It's a testing, and a time of proving. And it has been said that believers learn to die well because they trust their God. And their faith is proved in the midst of the fire of that ordeal. Test yourselves. Prove your own selves. See, that's what Paul is talking about. Don't shrink back from the time of testing, because in the time of testing, your faith will be proved. And isn't this what Peter says in 1 Peter, where those same words are used in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor
at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, I thank God for that. I really do. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. For the trial of your faith, for the proof of your faith, works patience. Don't shrink back. I think that's the lesson. And when you don't shrink back in the time of testing and in the time of trial, and your faith is proved whole, what happens? Assurance is built. Is that not the case? Isn't that the wonderful outcome? I think it is. And I see some of you nodding that that's the case because you have experienced that. You see, we come back to this proposition then. God wants you to have an accurate knowledge of yourself so that you can have true assurance of salvation. And if you follow the exhortation of the Apostle Paul, I think this can come about. What is that exhortation? Once again, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail the test? Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'd be pleased to work in us in such a way that when the tests of life come, we will not shrink back, but utilize these times as opportunities in which the faith you have been pleased to give us will be proved solid. Work in each individual here to that end, I pray. And I ask, Father, that you'd be pleased in the lives of individuals who would be here who do not have that faith in Jesus Christ. They would realize that that's the case. And seek your face, asking for that gift of faith, that it might be proved valid in their lives also. Blessed to this end, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.